Welcome to the Deep Dive. Our mission today, well, it's pretty focused. We're looking right at the cutting edge of clinical support. We're exploring how artificial intelligence is taking just raw data, tons of it, and turning it into real medical precision. You know, the challenge in healthcare today, it's something we all kind of recognize. We depend completely on the amazing skill and, well, the gut feeling of clinicians. But with all this tech popping up everywhere, continuous monitoring, wearables, all those devices, it's created this data tsunami. Honestly, clinicians are just swamped. Really subtle early signs. They get buried in the day-to-day noise, or you get dashboards blinking constantly with alerts that aren't, you know, super urgent. And that leads straight to what they call alert fatigue.
It really is the paradox, isn't it? We've got more information than ever, but sometimes the sheer amount of it stops the expert, the human, from finding that one critical signal in all the digital noise. So that's why we need to rethink technology's role here. We're looking at a platform today, SensaCare, and their whole philosophy is key. The AI is absolutely not there to replace a doctor's judgment, not at all. Its job is to sharpen it, amplify it, basically empower the human by making sense of all that complexity, turning it into something focused, precise, and immediate.
Right, and that's the goal for you listening in. We want to unpack exactly how this system pulls that off. How does it go from just constant streams of data, you know, heart rate, O2 levels, blood pressure, even things like sleep, stress? How does it get from that to an insight that's so focused, it actually cuts through the noise, lets clinicians be proactive instead of just reacting to crises?
Well, if you think about the big picture, this data overload problem, it really starts right there at the patient side. Imagine you're monitoring someone and their heart rate just jumps for a second. Is that just noise? Did they move? Or is it maybe the very first sign of an infection starting? A clinician, a person, just can't watch every single vital sign for every patient 24/7, constantly checking tiny changes against each other. It's impossible.
It's physically impossible.
Exactly. And that's where this AI analytics engine really shows its value. It's like the ultimate pattern spotter. It's always analyzing patterns. Yep. And crucially, across multiple vitals at the same time, it figures out what's normal for this specific person, their unique baseline. So by linking subtle shifts, maybe a tiny drop in oxygen, plus a slight but steady increase in breathing rate, it brings the important stuff to the surface. It separates the real emerging concerns from just, you know, the random daily fluctuations.
Okay, let's dig into that structure then, because what's really interesting, our sources say this isn't just one giant black box algorithm. SensaCare seems to be built on, like, a nervous system of 5 connected, specialized AI engines, all working together.
Uh-huh.
Feels like a more holistic way to do it. Really backs up that idea they talk about. Intelligent support, human-led care.
Mm.
So to really get the precision aspect, we should probably detail those 5 areas for you, the listener. They work as a team, but each tackles a specific piece of the puzzle. We're talking about engines for vitals analysis, medication management, predictive modeling, something called AI orchestration, and data integrity.
Right. Let's start right at the front line with the vitals analysis engine. This is that subtle pattern detective we were just talking about. It's built to look for tiny changes, not just, you know, crossing a high or low threshold like old alarms do. It looks at the variance, the rate of change. So maybe a shift in heart rate variability hours before someone has a major heart issue. That's often too subtle for a human to catch on rounds, but the vitals engine is designed to flag exactly that kind of signal.
Okay, makes sense. What are the next one? Medication management.
Yes, the medication management engine. This tackles something huge, adherence and safety. Are patients taking their meds correctly? It brings together real-time body data with their prescription schedule. It can predict risks, like if someone might not be taking their medication properly, or it identifies potential drug interactions that could be riskier because of the patient's current vitals. It supports getting the dose right. Basically, it helps make sure the right drug, right dose, right time, considering the patient's actual condition right now.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Because medication issues, especially not taking meds right, that drives a lot of hospital readmissions. But okay, let's get to the real sort of forecasting part. The predictive modeling engine. This sounds like where the crystal ball lives.
Yeah, well, sort of. It focuses on generating really specific clinical risk forecasts. Things like, what's the chance this patient might suddenly get much worse or have a cardiovascular event? Or, as you mentioned, get readmitted to the hospital within 30 days.
And the number that jumps out from the sources, they're claiming accuracy rates for these predictions up to 91%. Okay, I have to push it back a bit here. 91% sounds amazing, but what does that really let a clinician do? If it was, say, only 70% accurate, would it still be useful? That extra 21%, that must be where the real action is.
Oh, that gap is everything. Think about it. If a model is only 70% sure, a clinician is going to hesitate, right? They'll want more proof, wait and see.
And lose valuable time.
Exactly. Lose precious time. But at 91% confidence, that recommendation carries serious clinical weight. It gives the clinician the confidence to act now, to change the care plan, order specific tests, maybe get a specialist involved early, potentially hours, even days before a crisis actually hits. It flips the whole model from being reactive to being decisive, proactive, and reliable.
Okay, so we've got the analysis, the med guidance, the high confidence prediction. But you mentioned alert fatigue earlier. How does the system stop this prediction engine from just creating a new kind of digital noise, even if it's high priority noise?
Yeah.
That filtering, the ranking.
Yeah.
That's the job of the AI orchestrator, isn't it?
Absolutely spot on. The orchestrator is like the central command, and its main job, kill alert fatigue. It takes the insights from the other engines, runs them through the predictive models, figures out how urgent the resulting risk really is, and then, crucially, it translates that risk into a clear, structured recommendation based on evidence. So the output isn't just a flashing light saying, warning, high readmission risk. No, it's more like, patient X has a rising readmission risk. Why? Declining vitals correlation from the vitals engine, plus suspected adherence issues from the medication engine. Recommendation. Contact the community nurse immediately and review their fluid balance guidelines.
Ah, so it's the why and the what next.
Exactly. And that what next is always grounded in established clinical guidelines. So the system isn't just guessing. It suggests what to do, adjust meds, schedule a review, reach out based on protocols the clinicians already know and trust. That builds confidence. The suggestion is statistically strong and clinically relevant.
Makes sense. Okay, before we talk impact, there's one engine left on our list. Data integrity. Why does an AI need a whole engine just for clean data? Don't the sensors just send the data over?
Data integrity is absolutely foundational. You know the saying, garbage in, garbage out. Especially with continuous monitoring, you get noise, faulty sensors, maybe the connection gets loose, the patient moves in a way that looks like a bad sign.
Right, artifacts.
Exactly. Artifacts that could easily trigger false alarms. The data integrity engine is constantly validating the data coming in. It identifies and scrubs out that noise before it hits the vitals or predictive engines. It ensures they're working with information that's actually reliable. It's kind of the unsung hero, the safety net that makes that 91% accuracy even possible.
Got it. So a system making these high confidence calls, it must be learning all the time. Where does that learning come from? And how do you make sure it stays relevant, especially for, say, clinicians working within a specific country's healthcare system?
Yeah, the sources are clear on that. The system's intelligence is constantly evolving. It learns. It keeps refining its predictive models using anonymized, high-quality data from lots of different patients over time. This lets it get better at spotting those emerging patterns and apply its findings safely across different people.
Anonymized is key there.
Absolutely. And that ties into making it relevant and trustworthy, especially, as the sources mentioned, in the Australian context. For doctors and nurses there to trust it, the system needs to speak their language, align with their standards. So SenseCare integrates key Australian health data sets. This is vital for local trust. We're talking about data from the TGA, that's the Therapeutic Goods Administration. They oversee devices and drugs. Also the PBS, the Pharmaceutical Benefit Scheme that gives real-world info on how meds are actually used. And the AIHW, the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare, which is all the big-picture health stats.
Okay, so it's tuned into the local medical environment. It's using the same benchmarks, the same evidence base as the clinicians. That must translate into real, measurable benefits then, beyond just smarter predictions. What does this actually mean for how hospitals run or for patient outcomes? What's the impact we can actually measure?
Well, this is where you see the operational improvements. It shows how time gets redirected. Instead of staff constantly putting out fires, reacting to emergencies, they're proactively scheduling interventions, preventing the fires.
And the numbers reported are pretty compelling. They represent real time given back to actual patient care. The reports show a 20 to 30% reduction in emergency department visits. Just think about that for a second.
Yeah, that's huge.
Those aren't just stats. That means crises that could have happened are being dealt with earlier, often in the community. Less stress on the whole system. And they also report a 15 to 25% drop in hospital readmissions, which is like the gold standard for managing chronic conditions well, right? Keeping people healthier at home.
It absolutely is.
Okay.
And then there's the operational side. For the staff themselves, the system leads to a reported 25 to 35% improvement in staff efficiency. Now, that doesn't mean people are just working faster, burning out. It means they're working smarter.
Focusing their time better.
Precisely. Spending their valuable time on complex human care, the stuff AI can't do, instead of chasing down false alarms or dealing with deteriorations that could have been caught earlier. You know, what's really striking is how every one of these stats points back to that core idea. AI is a clinical ally. It does the heavy lifting, the analytical grind, sifting through that data tsunami so the humans don't drown in it, the clinician's judgment, still absolutely in charge. But now, every alert comes with context, with that confidence score, and crucially, with actionable recommendations. It helps teams step in at the best possible moment.
Yeah, that really brings us full circle on this deep dive, doesn't it? The main theme is crystal clear. This kind of technology isn't about replacing human wisdom with code, not at all. It seems to be about merging that AI precision with essential clinical skill and experience to make proactive, connected care actually happen. It spots the risk early so the human care team can focus completely on the connection, the empathy, the healing.
Exactly right. And when we talk about the, you know, the human edge in digital health, what we mean is, yes, data is incredibly powerful, but empathy, judgment, that personal connection, making ethical calls, those things are and always will be irreplaceable in healthcare. When technology can anticipate risk and suggest the right move at the right time, it doesn't just make healthcare smarter. By cutting down the burden of process, of information overload, it actually helps make delivering care more human.
It lets the clinician truly be present with the patient. Something for you to think about.
Yeah.
How does removing that constant pressure, that data noise, actually free up the human parts of care that we value most? Thanks for joining us for the Deep Dive.